I am Pastor Bethany Machieski. I serve as the associate pastor here at Midland First, and I am delighted to welcome you to worship this morning. Whether you are in our sanctuary or watching online, we are excited to worship together this morning. We have a few announcements for you this morning. Our first announcement this morning is from our music director, Gabrielle Cook-Melkovena, about our Next Generation concert series.
Good morning, church. It is my honor to stand before you and invite you to the last concert of our music concert series, which will be next Sunday at 7 p.m. right here in this sanctuary. We have the privilege, and I am serious about using the word privilege, we have the privilege of hosting Brenda Portman. She is a young organist, educator, performer, and published composer who teaches at the music school in Cincinnati, which will remain nameless at this point. And she's also working as the principal organist at Hyde Park United Methodist Church in Ohio. And it is an honor to be able to invite her to come and do a concert for our community of not only her own works, but some beloved works of Bach and a couple of other composers. But what I'm really looking forward to invite you to is this free night of music of a composer performing her own works. That's pretty special. None of us will ever hear Bach perform his works because we're living in this year. So it's a really special thing to hear a composer do their own stuff. So I invite you to come, invite your family and friends as we join together and enjoy some organ music. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. That is indeed a great opportunity. Next, we have Sherry with an announcement on the day of prayer.
Morning, everybody. The 2025 August Day of Prayer follows the past two summer traditions of being an all ages and hands-on prayer experience. Our theme is praying in color. This day was planned based on the works of Sybil Macbeth. New this year, you get to pick the date for your own day of prayer. If the church is open, feel free to stop by the library any day, any time. There you will find the resources and activities for praying in color. You may pray in color in the library or take a packet home for your personal or family time of praying and coloring. Some may want to pray in black and white, sketch, and for sure there will be lots of doodling. The prayer ministry team encourages you to give it a try, even if you are a scribbler. God understands.
Indeed, he does. He knows all of the thoughts of our hearts, and he loves when we come to him. And so we do encourage you to take part in that this month. That is all the announcements that we have for you this morning. And so I invite us to a time of greeting, and I will bring us back together with our bell. And I invite you also to remain standing after our time of greeting for the call to worship.
I'm Dawn. Would you please join me and remain standing for the call to worship this morning? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble,
and he delivered them from their distress.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and the hungry, he fills with good things.
Our opening hymn this morning is Come, Let Us Join Our Friends Above, and it can be found in the United Methodist Hymnal on page 709 or on the screen. may be seated.
All right, kids, come on up.
Hello, everyone.
Small but mighty today. I'm glad you guys are all here. Today in Sunday school, we're discussing Psalm 51:10, part of a very famous prayer from David. His plea to God to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me is a prayer we can all use every day. It is comforting to know that all we have to do is ask, and he will forgive us and create new hearts for us. Let us pray. Let us pray. Dear God, we know that you can see what is in our hearts, and we know that there are some things there that shouldn't be. Create in us clean hearts, O God. Amen. Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Adelaide. And now we come to a time of offering. If our ushers would please come forward. And as the ushers are coming forward, I invite you to sign the red friendship pads that are in your pews and to pass them down and to get to know who is sitting in the pew next to you. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to know who's here so that we can reach out and be intentional.
Thank you.
Lord, indeed, we do give you praise for all the blessings that you give us in every sort of way. And we give you thanks for these gifts here, and we pray that you would use them however you see fit to your honor and glory. We thank you so much that all that we have to give is all that we have already been given. We pray that you would indeed use them to further your kingdom so that others may know of your love. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Last week, Pastor Jeremy preached from the first 13 verses of Luke chapter 11 regarding how we should pray. The parable that Jesus told in that section of scripture reminds us that persistence in prayer is admirable. And Pastor Jeremy reminded us that prayer is not about what we can get from God so much as it is about growing in our relationship with Him. Indeed, when we speak to God and give ourselves the opportunity to hear what God has to say to us, because He's always speaking His love for us, and it's important to be intentionally mindful about listening, not only do we learn more about God, but we learn more about ourselves. As we turn to the next chapter today and our passage, Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, Jesus is telling another parable. This time, the parable is in response to Jesus' warning against greed, in which he tells the story of a farmer with ample goods. Instead of giving away those goods, he tears down the barns he already has and builds new ones. Someday, Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. We affirm this belief through the Apostles' Creed, which all Christians profess as true. The Apostles' Creed is intentionally a part of the baptism liturgy that we walk through in order to reaffirm our vows, to care for one another in Christian love as we walk together, as we grow in disciples of Jesus Christ. I mention the creed and the portion in which Jesus is mentioned as judge, because in this passage today, he very deliberately declined to be the arbiter and judge between the two brothers regarding who would receive what in inheritance. It was not because Jesus did not have the power or authority to let them know what was right. However, in telling the parable, Jesus dug even deeper. How much we have doesn't matter so much as how we use it. Oftentimes, during the offertory prayer, you will often hear me pray that all that we have to give is all that we have already been given, as I did today. And it's because James writes that God is the giver of every good gift. That's from James 1:17, and I'm paraphrasing. The man in the parable today came by his surplus honestly. He was a farmer, and his crops were abundant. Abundance isn't the problem. Jesus came so that we could have life and have it abundantly. We read that in John chapter 10, verse 10. And the psalmist talks about his cup running over in Psalm 23. In today's passage, Jesus said that we need to be on our guard against all kinds of greed, because our life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Rather, the abundance that Jesus speaks of is intangible, a relationship with him that pours forth blessing because we were created to live in the love of God and for that love to flow through us into the world around us. One of my favorite movies is The Sound of Music. I've seen it many times, and I love the musical numbers. One of the songs in the film is a reprise of one heard earlier in the film, 16 going on 17. The reprise later in the film shows Liesl, the oldest daughter of Captain Von Trapp, reflecting on a relationship after it ends and how it has changed her because of it. Maria, who recently married the captain, comes in and begins to sing with her. Maria begins the reprise like this. A bell is no bell till you ring it. A song is no song till you sing it. And love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. But love isn't love till you give it away. God can use all things to bring us closer to him and to impart his wisdom. And I think that portion of the song has a lot of wisdom. The mystery of the triune nature of God speaks to the mutual indwelling of God and the receiving of love that each of the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have for one another, through which we were created. We know that God himself is love, and we were created by and for love. That's why when we look at this interaction between Jesus and the man who wishes for part of the inheritance, and the parable that Jesus tells in response, digging deeper is important. Certainly, the surface matters. It's true that you can't take anything with you when you leave this life, when this life is over. All that we have will be left. However, what if it's what gets left behind that's what's important? It's something I'm sure that many of us have thought about at least a time or two, about what legacy we want to leave behind. Today, I want to help us understand why it is that richness toward God is important, why invisible treasure is the treasure that we should seek. There are many things, especially in today's world, that vie for our attention and compete for our heart. There are many places we could choose to be outside of the sanctuary this morning. Some of them are very good places with joyful consequences, and some of them are necessary. And yet God invites us into his house to gather on Sunday mornings. Yes, you are welcome to come and pray here in the sanctuary or in the chapel on weekdays, but today we are gathered together here. We are together in worshiping God today, and that is important because we form a community together. We get to know one another, and as we get to know one another, we get to know more of who God is. Certainly, there are times when it is necessary for us to be elsewhere on a Sunday morning. But the richness of what God offers to us in community implores us to make our relationship with God a priority, in part by coming to church. Not because we want to be rigid and legalistic. Jesus condemned legalism and doing anything for the sake of show. Please hear me say that I'm not here to shake my finger, to be unkind, or to imply anything. I'm not here for that. What I'm getting at is that at the heart of the parable that Jesus told about the farmer who had surplus of crops and rebuilt his barns, who said to his soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." At the heart of the parable is God calling out to us, all of us through the ages, to empty the barns with whatever it is to make room for him. God is asking us to bless others and to make room for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord, the giver of life. The Nicene Creed tells us that the Holy Spirit is known as the giver of life. That's who he is. God is the giver of life. He is how we know what it is to be alive. He is more alive than we are. Systematic theologian Thomas Oden said that in his book, The Living God. What a beautiful thing to reflect on. What a beautiful thing to contemplate. Everything we have and every good and joyful thing in life makes sense because who knows us inside and out. He knows what we need before we ask it, and it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. If our first instinct at the sign of the surplus of crops is to tear down our barns and build bigger ones, we've missed it. We're blessed to be a blessing because God has blessed us. And by giving, we are sharing the love and the life of Christ with others. The reason I titled my sermon this way this morning, Digging a Little Deeper, is because John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38 says, "On the last day of the festival, the great day, While Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let anyone who believes in me drink. As the scripture says, out of the believer's heart shall flow streams of living water." The apostle made clear that he said this, that Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. When someone digs a well, it has to be dug down deep in order to strike water. The water is clean and good, and it flows freely when it's struck. It's living water that Jesus is referring to, because this water is moving. It flows. Just like the life of God flows through us, the Holy Spirit flows through us when we are connected to him. And Jesus says in chapter 4 of John that anyone who comes to him will never be thirsty. They will never thirst again. May the life that God lives live in and flow through us, forming and shaping the choices we make, with the understanding that life is short. And more than anything we could ever ask on this earth, God desires to give us himself. God desires to fill us with every good thing. And in him we will never be found wanting. He desires to be in relationship with us, for us to know him and to be known. It's a beautiful thing, and I don't want you to miss it. As we come to the communion table today, I encourage you to come with open arms, expecting to meet Jesus, expecting that the Holy Spirit is here and wanting to work in and through us. Because the Lord wants to meet us. He wants to fill us to overflowing so that we can pour out from our excess onto others, and so that others would know who he is. So I invite you, as we pray and as we go through the liturgy together, to prepare your hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go to God together and to pray. Father God, we give you thanks for who you are. We give you thanks that you are the living God, and you are the God of the living. We pray and we thank you that you are our creator, our sustainer, and redeemer. And we thank you that we get to be yours. We give you thanks that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, so that we would have life and have it abundantly through him. Continually reveal to us as individuals and as a congregation the richness of your love and mercy. Help us to make space for you in our lives. Quiet our hearts so that we are able to hear and discern your still small voice above the noise of the world. Help us to think of others as better than ourselves and to pour your love out through the abundance that we have without holding back. Help us to give everything we have so that others know who you are. We pray for the persecuted church today. Give those who are persecuted because of your name and because they follow you deep, deep hope and the ability to rest in the promise of future reward in heaven. Give them deep joy in who you are, and help us all to lean into you and to rest in your promises. with full confidence in your steadfast and all-consuming love and the joy that it brings to our souls. Help us to think on these things and to be formed and shaped by who you are. We pray for all those who are suffering today, all those who are grieving, and all those who need comfort in any way. You, Lord God, God Most High, are the God of all comfort. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here as the congregation of Midland First United Methodist Church. Stir our hearts with your love that we should approach the throne of grace with boldness. Ask for what we need and share you with those we encounter. Share your love and life for them. Your heart that takes delight in us, who you have created in your very image. We love you, God. Give us the courage to step out in faith and in radical hospitality, to live lives connected to you, even when we walk through valleys. Lives so connected to you that we would give up everything else to follow you. Shape us to be wells of living water that proclaim your holy love and the peace that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus. Be glorified today. Be glorified through this service and through our actions and our words each and every day. Help us to be your hands and feet in the world, to those who need to hear you and to see you and to know that you are for them. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we come to the table this morning, I invite you to turn to the liturgy on pages 12 and 13 of your hymnal, or to see the words on the screen. And I invite us to prepare our hearts this morning. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love, and we have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray silently. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours. Indeed, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Will those who are serving communion please come forward? Coming forward, I want to remind you that this is an open table. You do not need to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive. I also want to remind you that if you are in need of gluten-free bread, you will find that in the bowls in the middle of these plates. The table is set. Come. As we have received at the table, now let us pray a prayer of thanksgiving. God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. We give you thanks for who you are and that you have met us here. Lord, we love you, and we indeed do thank you that you are our sustainer and our redeemer. And we are blessed to be a blessing. May it be so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we end our service today with a song that we can take with us so that we remember the meat of our message. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are. You are more precious.
It's true that nothing we desire compares to the Lord. Life is so short. As we go today, I invite you deeper into the life of God, deeper into trust of Him. Allow Him to dig a little deeper into your life and to make his home in your heart, because he will not disappoint. And what he gives is so much more than what we have in this life. And what we have to offer the world through him is so much more than we could offer on our own. And as we go, we do not walk alone. He never, ever, ever leaves us. And he is the one who gives us everything we need to do what he calls us to do. I invite you to have peace in that today and to go with joy into what he calls us to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.